Everyone needs a spiritual father. Excerpt from Volume 3 of the Councils of St. Paisios, Spiritual Struggle, chapter titled, The Need for a Spiritual Guide. The spiritual life requires a spiritual guide. The most necessary thing today is for people to find a spiritual father, to confess, trust him, and follow his advice. If people have a spiritual guide and establish a rule of prayer and study, if they go to church on a regular basis and receive Holy Communion, then they have nothing to fear in this life. The soul must be attended to closely by the spiritual father so that it does not go astray. Spiritual study certainly helps in our struggle for the spiritual life, but if we are without a spiritual guide, we can easily give our own interpretations to what is being studied and fall into error. For example, when someone is going on a long trip and is not certain of the way, he can consult the map, but he can also stop and ask for directions. Let's say that someone is traveling from Athens to Florina. He has a map to follow, but along the way he may stop to ask at a kiosk if he is going in the right direction, because he could take a wrong turn at an intersection and end up in Kavala or at a dangerous cliff. Of course, it is also quite possible for one not to follow the directions he is given and end up somewhere else, or he may not pay close attention to the dangers he was warned about and be harmed. But whoever shows him the way and warns him, "Be careful, there's a sharp turn over there and a dangerous cliff over here," will have his reward. My point is that the same thing must be done in the spiritual life. The believer has to have a spiritual father, be guided by his advice, and be helped through the mystery of repentance and confession. This is the only way for one to live an Orthodox Christian life and be certain that he is on the right path. Of course, one should choose his spiritual guide carefully and not entrust his soul to just anyone. Just as one seeks the best doctor for his physical health, he should also seek out a good spiritual father for his spiritual health and go to him, the doctor of his soul, on a regular basis. Refer people to a spiritual father. Yerunda, often when people see us sisters dressed in a cassock, they tell us their pain, their problems, even their confession. What should we do? First of all, when they come to talk to you about their problem, you should ask them whether they have a spiritual father. This is what I tell people who come to me at the Kalivi to ask me about something. I am not a father confessor. Go to your spiritual father and do what he tells you. In order to renounce the devil, people must repent and have a spiritual father to confess to. Of course, I understand it if a nun sits and listens to a pained woman, but afterwards she must advise her to go to her spiritual father, and she must not go on talking with her. And if a woman is not at peace with her spiritual father or is in despair, or she has never confessed before, the nun may listen to her once, but then she must send her to the spiritual father, assuring her that she will continue to pray for her. Aside from the fact that it is not a nun's responsibility to help people in this way, that is, by constantly listening to their problems, it also doesn't help them. For it is true to say that a person can suffer three forms of transformations, from himself, from others, and from the devil. People come to the monastery, find some human consolation, but once they leave to go home, they resume their own ways and start the same things all over again. Both women and men should go to their spiritual father. It isn't right for them to tell their problems to a nun, for then they will say, "I made my confession, I'm all right." And, having eased their conscience, they won't go to a spiritual father. This is a machination of the devil to prevent them from going to confession. You must come to understand your real mission as nuns and not presume to do missionary work when you have yet to understand your monastic mission. Being monastic people, we have the responsibility of praying for the problems of others. But we are not responsible for getting ourselves involved in their problems. The spiritual father, on the other hand, has the obligation to do this. He also carries the responsibility. He must answer before God. If they discuss their problems with you, a nun, They will burden you with a responsibility, whereas the spiritual father is able to follow their life closely and provide solutions to their problems. In other words, this requires ongoing work. This is not the work of monks and nuns. People should only ask for prayer from us. Let them send us a letter with the names of people so that we may pray for them with a convoschini. Note, St. Paisios is not saying that higher monks cannot be spiritual fathers. He is simply saying that monks who are not ordained priests cannot be spiritual fathers. Just as one takes care to have his family doctor available as nearby as possible, he should also have his spiritual father near him. A doctor who is near his patient can be more effective in helping him than a more experienced university professor would be, simply because he can follow the patient's condition regularly and systematically, and when necessary, send him to a specialist. During my stay at sanatorium, I was impressed by the following. Many wealthy people who suffered from tuberculosis stayed at home, and medical professors would go to make house calls. But such treatment proved totally ineffective, simply because they could not follow their patients closely. As a result, they created a separate unit at the sanatorium for them, so they could be hospitalized there and be followed systematically. The point I'm trying to make is this. Just as a doctor needs to closely observe the patient after initiating some treatment to see if it is effective or is having adverse effects, so that he can accordingly increase or decrease the dosage and, if necessary, even change the treatment. So the spiritual father, in order to provide effective help, must also be able to follow the soul closely, because it can undergo various changes and reactions undetectable from a distance. Once I said to a woman who had a certain temptation, "You must do this, and you will see that you'll be able to overcome it." Indeed, she followed my instructions and overcame the temptation. After some time, she had another, completely different temptation, which she confronted in the same way and suffered difficulties. The blessed soul could have sent someone or written to ask me what to do in this new difficulty. I would have given her different medicine, that is, different advice. She found it difficult to ask me because I was far away. This is why I do not usually give advice from a distance if I don't know the person well and don't have a close communication with him. The spiritual father in the family. Yerinda, what books can help married couples? One thing that can help a married couple is for each spouse not to justify himself or herself. If spouses justify themselves, they receive no benefit, no matter how many spiritual books they read. If they have a good disposition, if they have a spiritual father and obey him, they will not have problems. But it can't be done without a spiritual referee. It is best that the spouses have the same spiritual father, not one for the husband and another for the wife. When two pieces of wood are planed by two different carpenters, they never fit. Whereas when the couple has the same spiritual father, he will plane down the rough spots, the shortcomings, of both spouses, and the difficulties will be removed. But today, even couples who otherwise live a spiritual life often have different spiritual fathers. Rarely do spouses have the same spiritual father, and this is why they aren't helped effectively. I know married couples who are compatible, but ended up divorcing because they did not have the same spiritual father to help them, while others, who were not compatible but had the same spiritual father, were able to live their whole life together harmoniously. Of course, if the whole family has the same spiritual father, this is even better. The spiritual father will be able to listen to all the members of the family and counsel them accordingly on a given subject. Sometimes he will be stern with the father or the mother. Other times he will talk to the children if he cannot draw a conclusion from what the parents have to say. Or, if the couple has problems, and the wife, for example, is at fault, then he can call on the husband and advise him on how he should behave. He may even ask a relative or a friend to provide help discreetly.